I was saying it's such an awesome responsibility to be able to speak to you this morning from this pulpit. I feel like this pulpit is very sacred, and the words that come from this pulpit should be of the Lord. That should be what God wants us to hear. And so I've been praying for the last 2 days that God would anoint me with the Holy Spirit so I'm able to speak something to challenge you so it would do more for winning people to Christ. I don't know how it affects you, but when I see a bunch of kids, singing about Jesus, and I realize how many millions upon millions of children have never seen Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. They don't know. They don't know. And that's why I love Gideon's International so much, because we do everything we possibly can to take scriptures and place them in the hands of boys and girls and men and women around this world. But my heart has always been for the children. I think it's absolutely natural for a child to respond to Jesus Christ when they hear about him and when they're taught about him and they learn about his love. And I joined the Gideons. I know you're not going to believe this because I look so young, but this October will be 50 years. I've been a part of this ministry. I joined on weekend night. The next weekend, they had us at a pastor's banquet. And there I heard Paul Powers share about the country of India and place in the scriptures. And we're very fortunate this morning to have a young man from India. Godwin, would you please stand? Give him a hand. I've learned a little about him this morning, but I will not steal his thunder because he's going to speak at the end of the service and share with you what God has done through his life and how this church has impacted India through him. But I picked up a cartoon a few years ago. I hope it was true, but I know it's not. And this is what it said. It's the BC column, Johnny Hart. He was a Christian. The Gideons had been in his church one Sunday, and the next Sunday in the BC column, he had this article and shows a little guy climbing up a mountain. He says, "Oh, great guru, speak the wondrous things to come." And he said, "Well, let's see. There'll be famines and earthquakes and pestilence. The sun shall turn to darkness and the moon to blood." And the little guy said, "Well, sir, what's the good news?" He said, "Well, God will wipe away every tear, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain." And he said, "How do you know such things?" And the little guy on the top picks up a book just like this and says, "No one escapes the Gideons." So I wish that was true. But you see, we have a tremendous responsibility, and that's not true because there's so many people in the world today. Now, before I forget, I would like for all the Gideons and auxiliary that are in this church to please stand. We had a whole bunch in the first service. This church has a tremendous amount of auxiliary and Gideons, probably more. This church probably has more Gideons and auxiliary than any church in America. And so I'm so thankful for that I am a part of that church and we have the support we do in this church. Now, I want to start with a letter that you've heard before over the years. You know, my wife said I shouldn't say this, but I spoke about 10 or 12 years in a row at First Baptist Church Branson. And it's really hard to go back year after year after year and share because we're limited in what we can say. We're not supposed to preach, but I always tell everybody, if I do the job I should, you'll think I preached. But anyway, we're not supposed to preach. And so I asked him, that's about the sixth or seventh year I was up there, I said, "I've been here 6 or 7 years. How many remember what I said last year?" Not one hand went up. So I don't worry anymore about if I share something twice because all the testimonies are so good. I never get tired of hearing testimonies. But this was from my daughter. When I joined that Friday night, we was at a pastor's banquet the next weekend. Paul Powers came in from Little Rock, and he shared about India, how they were placing scriptures in India, and how that the school children were all lined up, and they began to notice that there weren't going to be enough scriptures, and the kids learned noticed too. And finally, when it got in the last box, they couldn't take it. They broke it, pushed the Gideons back, and they ripped the box open, and they were fighting and grabbing the scriptures. The Gideons picked up their boxes and put them in the car and started to drive off. And while they're driving off, one of the little Indian boys started running up and started knocking on the window with tears running down his face, yelling, "Where's mine? Where's mine? And even though I'd been a member a week, I realized at that point, this was a very, very powerful and needful ministry. And I promised God, I said, God, I'll do everything I can. I'll go anywhere you want me to go to help see little boys and girls get their copy of God's Word. Well, like I said, I'm going to share with you some testimonies that's touched my heart over the years today. And one was from my daughter. And so I shared at a banquet a few months, well, probably a couple of years later when I started speaking at banquets. We'd take one of our children with us on each trip. And so I shared that in Magnolia, Arkansas, at a pastor's banquet. On the way home the next day, my daughter said, Daddy, how much those Bibles cost? I said, well, they cost about a dollar. She said, how much would $20 buy? I said, well, sure, that'd buy 20. And so it took me a while to figure that out, but anyway, I got it. And so I went to bed that night, and I had a letter under my pillow, and it was from her, and she was 11 years old. It says, Dear Dad, I really enjoyed going with you and Mom, and I really enjoyed the ceremony. I'm giving you this because I understand more about what the money goes for. I hope it's enough to buy as many Bibles as possible, because I sure wouldn't want to be running behind that car yelling, where's mine, where's mine? Thank you so much for letting me go. I love you. Love, Brittany. I think she had a 10, a 5, and 4, 5 ones, and a dollar's worth of change. $20 taped for that letter. As I stood there, I thought, Thank you, God, for giving my daughter a tender heart. As I thought about what she did, I went back to where she said, I wouldn't want to be the one running behind that car, yelling, where's mine, where's mine? And I realized that she had gotten in that little boy's shoes. And she was feeling what he was feeling. So she cleaned out her entire piggy bank to buy scriptures. And as I thought more about it, you know, she realized one thing too. If she had a need the next day, her old daddy's going to take care of it. And, you know, that's the way we should be with our giving, if the Lord calls us to do that sometime. Because, you know, our Father will meet all of our needs. Now, I want to ask you a question. What do you think God sees when he looks down on this world? You ever think about that? What do you think Jesus sees when he looks down on this world every day? Well, one thing he sees about almost 8 billion people. It's 7,950,000,000. By 2023, we'll be over 8 billion. If I asked one of you young people to explain what a billion was, it'd be hard to explain, wouldn't it? It's so big. 8 billion people. What does that look like? Well, I've always tried to put things where I can understand it. And so the Razorback Stadium has 76,000 people in it, and we can all see that. If you was to bust out that end zone where all those people were sitting and gave them 150 yards, is the length of that football field with all the people, it would take 104,000 football fields full of 76,000 people to equal 8 billion. Now, you could get in your car and drive for 8,900 miles with all those people on each side of you. Does that affect you? That's what God sees. And he sees the vast majority of them are lost. And Jesus is up there saying, man, I died for you. I died for you. It's a free gift. And he left it up to us, the church, to go into all the world and evangelize the world. And I think we've done a really poor job. And we sit here in America and let everything change, folks. We just sit here and let our whole nation almost be destroyed, and it's being destroyed right in front of our eyes. Let me share you with the way that I think that God would say to us today. He said it to Israel in the Old Testament, Hosea. I think if God had a message for the church today in America and for the church in the world, here's what he'd say to us. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of America or the world. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there's no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. We've taken God out of our schools. We've taken the Ten Commandments away. We've taken God out of our courts. We have totally told God to take a hike. By swearing, lying, and killing, and stealing, and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. And I'll jump down to verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. Not that we didn't have it. America has rejected it. We had it for years. This was a Christian nation. It was founded on Christian principles. And now we said, God, take a hike. We don't want you anymore. We don't want your Ten Commandments. We don't want immorality. We want to do anything we want, anytime we want, anywhere we want. And what's the results of that? Well, I'm going to tell you the results of it. He said, I will reject thee. Thou shalt not be a priest to thee, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of your God. And here's the judgment. I also will forget your children. That's some of the most sobering words you could ever hear. Our children. Our children are being destroyed. Folks, I don't have time to get into all of it, but in the 50s, you know what the common problems were in the 50s? You're not going to believe this, kids. Chewing gum, running in the hall, throwing paper wads, not putting trash in the can, and making too much noise. Boy, it'd been tough being a teacher back then, wouldn't it? Now, here's a few today. In our schools, not prison, this is in our schools. Homeless families, child abuse, neglect, bullying, which we all heard about, violence, eating disorders, all the sexual promiscuity, pregnancy, suicide, drugs, and murder. You know, our homes used to be the safest place in the world for people, for our children, our homes. Schools was the second place. Now look what it's turned into. You think God's forgetting our children? Well, have you checked the curriculum lately? Climate change. I get up every morning scared to death this planet's just going to be burned up. How ridiculous. A few years ago, it was going to freeze. Now it's going to burn up. Now it's so ridiculous they had to change it to climate change. They can't say climate heating or climate heat. They say climate change. Well, civil rights, racial discrimination, gender inequality. Boy, we got a lot of that when I was going to school. Social justice. What's the answer, folks? I'll tell you what the answer is. The kids need the Word of God. And that's one ministry I know focuses on, getting the Word of God to our school children. Now, oh, I have so many testimonies to share with you today. I want to start with, because I have young people here. Years ago, Don Eford, our international president, was speaking in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. And he was on TV. It's a large church like this. Church is so gracious. And I thank everybody so much for your support of the Gideons and for praying for me all those years that I was gone and traveling and everything. But he was in that church, and he spoke in the first service, and he started on the way back to the office with the pastor after the first service to go rest before the next service. The next service is going to be on television. And Don said, Pastor, could you tell me why you're so gracious to the Gideons? You know, sometimes we get 5 minutes in church, sometimes 10. It's harder getting in our bigger churches. And so he said, yeah, I'll tell you why. He said, come on back to my office. And they sat down. He said, there was a young girl raised in this town, and so she's in church every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. She never missed. She got to be a high school senior, and her friends had convinced her there was one thing she'd not done to become the total woman, and I don't need to tell you what that is. So they rented a motel room, gave her the key, and another young man to meet her there. She got there first, walked in, sat down on the bed, and she saw God's Word. She picked it up, opened it up, and started reading it. In just a few minutes, she heard a key in the door open up, and it's the young man. He looked in and saw her reading the Bible. And he said, young lady, I think the best thing for you is just me take you home. He He dropped her off 2 blocks from where she lived, so no one even see that she'd been with him. And Don said, "Pastor, can you tell me what this girl's name is? I'd like to be able to share this testimony of the power of God's word in the right place at the right time." He said, "I sure can." He picked up a picture. He said, "It was my daughter." It was my daughter. Today she's married, 2 beautiful children, they're missionaries. He said, "Don, what if the Bible had not been in the room?" The reason I share that with you, I hope you felt something in your heart when I said, "It's my daughter." That's the way Jesus feels about all of us. That's the way God feels about each and every one of us. "That's my son. That's my daughter." And he wants us all to come to repentance. He wants us to come to him. Because, folks, time is getting short. Things are culminating faster than ever before. When we were growing up, we used to read about Dick Tracy and these crazy watches. It was all fiction. We never dreamed of these cell phones and all that we have today that track us every second. You see that when I read in the Revelation about the mark of the beast and all that stuff, how's one man going to control the whole world? But you can't buy or sell unless you have this mark. It's here. It's here, folks. They're going to put us all in a digital coin before long, and we're all going to be controlled even more than we are now. So it's getting closer. Now, I just showed you pictures of China in the past. We have very, very little work left in China. They just completely almost blocked us out 100%. The door closed. The brother's going to share with you about India. I'll let him tell about India. COVID hit us right between the eyes as a ministry. It shut us down. No churches to go to. They were all closed. We couldn't go fly overseas. We couldn't place the scriptures. Couldn't get within 6 foot of anybody. Just shut us totally down. It woke us up as a ministry. We started praying more than we've ever prayed before. And I'll tell you what, it is a privilege now to be able to stand here in this church once again with open doors and share about the ministry of getting international and how many people are coming to know Christ because of the placement of his word. Now, in 2012, I got to go to Ukraine. And we were supposed to place 40,000 scriptures. God knew what was coming. We tried to get into schools. They run us from one side to the other. We couldn't get to the kids. So we began to pray about it as a ministry and see when we go overseas like that, God's got to answer prayer now, not tomorrow, not next week, because we're gone next week. If we get in the door, it's got to be now, God. God, help us get in these schools. So on Wednesday, we went to Space Academy, which was a college, Botech College it turned out to be. And we set up out front, and all these buses started coming up, and all these kids started getting off these buses. I mean, bus after bus after bus, filing in. Well, we stand right there in the front. They come by, and they were all taking the testaments. We couldn't. So I found out with the police station. I said, "What's all these buses?" He said, it's career day. All the high schools are going to bring all their students right here to go through this building. I thought, thank you, God. See, they thought the scriptures out front was part of the program. So they all come, got off, they all took their testament, went in and looked at all the different vote techniques, came back, went and got on the bus. So instead of placing 40,000 copies, we placed 80,000 copies, folks. You think they're being read today? You think they're being used today, folks? God is working through his word. I can't wait to hear the stories, and I may have to wait until I get to heaven to find out how many people came to Christ because the Gideons were faithful to place those scriptures there in Ukraine. And they would place them every year after that, locally. So that was a blessing. Now, this testimony is one that really, just touched my heart so much. These two guys were working in the west coast of Africa, the Ivory Coast. And Henry Skinner and Frick were asked the last day to go to this little town called Louis Siki Siki and place scriptures. So they drove out there, they placed scriptures. They pretty well thought they had placed all the scriptures, and so they got some gas, and they started back to Foxworthy. Well, they got lost. And they pulled and got directions again. They got lost again. On the second time, they wound up out in this field, way out in the middle, and there was one big house at the end of this road. And they pulled up there and stopped. And Henry said, I started praying, please, Lord, we're tired. We need to get back. We need to go home. Help us get back to Foxworth. About time, a lady came out of that big old house. So they walked down there and talked to her, told her they were lost. She said, come inside. I'll give you some tea, and I'll tell you how to get back to Foxworth. So they went in and sat down. She starts talking with them. She said, you have any idea where you are? They said, no, we don't. We're still lost. She said, well, no, I'm talking about this building. They said, no, we don't know what this building's all about. And she said, this is where the leper children are housed. Well, they knew immediately. It was no accident. And they said, how many children do you have? She said, I have 28 of them. He turned to Hans and said, go out and check to see if there's any scriptures in the back of that little car. He said, well, I don't think there's any in the empty box, but I'll go check. Just a few minutes later, Hans walks back in. He's got a big smile on his face. Tim said, you find something? He said, yeah, how many you got? He said, 28. I mean, I'm supposed to say ain't. Yeah, ain't's a word now. You know that? When we was growing up, you couldn't say ain't, but it's in the dictionary now. Ain't God good? Isn't that amazing? I could show you some illustration like that that I've been on. It'd be the last scripture. It's just amazing to be able to see God work like that. And he said, can we talk to him? He says, oh, yeah, we'd love for you to talk to him if you would. We didn't know you'd want to talk to him. Oh, yes, we want to talk to him. He went out there where they got them all in there, and they preached the gospel to them. 28 little forgotten leper children. No hope. No future. Who cares? Who cares? The world care? No, they don't care. Did the people there in that country really care about those 28 leper children? No. Cast offs. God cares. God cares. God saves. And God loves. And he knew there were some children there that would respond if they heard. They shared the gospel, asked them to hold their hand up if they want to accept Jesus. Many hands went up. And a little 18-year-old girl in the back, they found out she's 18 later after they talked to her. She threw her hand up as high as she could throw it. And when he saw her hand go up so high, he looked, and there was no hand on the end of the arm. It had been eaten off by leprosy, just a nub. He said, I dropped back down and looked at her face with tears running down of empty sockets. Her eyes had been eaten out. He said, I was so glad to be part of that. I was so glad God sent me there to share with those little leper children. And he went on to share, you know, one day you're going to see that little girl. She's a woman, 18 years old. She's going to have to tell you who she is. Because she's not going to be like that. She's going to be absolutely beautiful. And she'll tell you the story. Remember when Arnie told you that story? I am the one. Thank you. Thank you so much for giving the money to buy that scripture so Henry and Frick can come and share Jesus with me. I'll be in heaven with you forever because you care. Well, we had some men, a good friend of mine from Indiana, he was in the Philippines, and we go on those blitzes we place. We work early in the morning, we get to schools before they open, we work all the way through, and if there's colleges, we're there until 11 o'clock at night. We don't go to sightsee, tour, buy nothing, we're working night and day, and you're literally dead tired. That's why frickin' Hans wanted to get back so bad so they could fly home. But they were working the schools, and they walked into the school, and there was a lady there from Germany that actually in charge of the school there in the Philippines. Asked for permission to play scriptures, and she said, I don't want you interrupting my classes. I don't think there's any need for them to have that little book, so no, you can't do it. So they said, well, we'll just continue to pray. Maybe it'll open back up or whatever. But they went on and started placing, and they went to a college, and they placed the scriptures, And they handed a testament to a young man. Whoa, it's already almost 12. What time are we supposed to get out of here? What time y'all normally get out of here? I don't ever come to late service. What time do we get out? What? 12:15. Thank you. Well, y'all not getting out? No, really. I know he's going to speak afterwards, so I'm fixing to shut it down, okay? Anyway, they handed a testament to a young man there on the college campus. He took a few steps. He stopped. He says, "Man, I need one of my own language. I can't read this." They said, well, let me see it. And they gave it back, and it was German. Now, they print these scriptures over. I've been to the printing presses. I've seen these printing presses print these things. And they come, it's almost untouched by human hand. They shoot out of the deal, and they just leave around 20 of them. They drop in these boxes, close them, they're gone. So you don't have German in Philippine Testaments unless God wants one there. Now, I've thought many times, I don't know how I got there, but I do know how I got there. God put it there because they saw it was German. And they said, well, that lady was German. So they went back to her and said, look, we're not wanting in the school. We're not going to ask again. But we found a German testament. We shouldn't have it. And you're German. So you're the only person over here who could read it. So we want to see if you wanted it. And she took it and began to look through it. And she said, oh, my goodness. I've always wanted one of these. I didn't know what it was. She said, be back tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. I got 3,200 students. See what God does? He answers her prayer. Bill Rhodes is a good friend of mine. He was my hero. When I got into Gideon's, I was so amazed by that guy. He was just dying, oh my. And he's speaking and everything. But anyway, he's at a school there in Asia and went in to see the, was it Asia? Yep, Asia. He went at school and asked if he could play scriptures, and this guy said, no, I don't want you to do it. He said, sir, but we have them out here. They've been paid for the churches. They're free. We'd like to give them to your students. He said, no, you can't do it. He said, well, sir, they're free. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you do it. So they start carrying the scriptures in, piling up on the table. And finally, the guy said, not going to work. Just forget it. All the kids were piled out there already. He said, no, it's not going to work. Can't happen. He said, sir, have we offended you in any way? Have we got too many scriptures? What's the problem? He said, I'll tell you the problem. He said, they won't want your book. He said, why, sir? He said, they have never, ever heard the name of Jesus. I can't fathom that in my life. What if I had never, ever heard the name of Jesus? I'd be lost as a goose. Wouldn't have a clue what's fixing to happen. And then he says, well, I'll tell you what. If you're going to offer them the book, then you got to tell them what it's about. Bill said, that never made me so happy in all my life. Now I'm going to get to preach to them. And he said, he looked up there, and there was 4,000 little kids in front of him that had never heard the name of Jesus. He said, man, what an opportunity I had. He said, for 20 minutes, I told him all I could about Jesus and how he loved him. And he said, then we offered him to come by and pick up a copy. 3,997 kids picked up a copy of the Word of God to take home to learn more about Jesus, folks. I mean, you know, that is the most exciting thing about this ministry is God continues to open those doors so we can place the scriptures all over the world. Now, in the United States, hey, it's tough here. We got to go to the sidewalks and everything in the world to get it here. We're rejecting knowledge. We're closing the doors. And it's tougher and tougher and tougher. And it's going to get tougher and tougher as Jesus is getting ready to come back. Lester Easel got in his car and drove 750 miles to prison in Florida. A young man had sent him a newspaper article and said, see if this is the same young man that I sit by in Sunday school class. He's on death row for murder. Lester got it and saw it was the same young man. He got his car and drove 750 miles to see if he would get a witness to him. The young man would not even see him. And he told the guard, see if he'll take this testament. Yard said, I'll see what I can do. He got drove 750 miles back, not knowing if he'd ever see the Testament. But see, he knew the power of God's Word. If you can get it in their hands, if people would just read this thing, the most powerful thing ever created is His Word. The grass fadeth, knoweth, but you know, the Word of God shall stand for what? Forever and ever and ever. We heard Adrian Rogers the other day. Adrian Rogers from Bellevue Baptist Church. He's been there for several years, and we listened to him preach. His sermons are so pertinent for today. And I said, you know why? Because it's the truth. The gospel never changes. And I don't care what our churches in America want to do. I don't care what people want to do. This thing is true. It's going to be fulfilled every dot, every T cross until Jesus comes, because God said it's His Word. Well, it was just a few weeks later that Lester got a letter from this young man, and it started out like this. It said, Dear sir, thank you for coming and getting me that testament. I read it, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. By the time you read this letter, I will have been executed. But I want you to know, I led 42 other men on death row to Christ. Folks, I ask you the question, who cares about these people? They're murderers. They're thieves. They're the worst of the worst. Jesus cares. God cares. He died for them. And you know what's amazing? I don't think we can ever comprehend it or understand it. The minute one of those accept Christ, they're totally changed. And they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we have to keep in mind when we look around. I am judgmental. I'm telling you, I am very judgmental. If I was God, I already nuked half the world. They wouldn't even be here. Because I want justice. I want justice really bad. I don't want my justice. I want their justice. But folks, we have to understand how much God loves. And I don't think He's going to come until the last person gets saved. I think Jesus, on that day when it's all said and done, oh, my goodness. He's going to turn to His Father. He's going to turn to God and say, Father, I never lost one of them. They're all here. And eternity will start, folks. And just to share with you one of these things that's so hard for me to understand, and then I'm going to close and give this guy plenty of time. I'm not even going to share this. I'm just going to close. How can you help? I'll tell you how you can help. It's through prayer. Prayer's got the doors back open. Prayers have got us working again. Prayers have got us placing scriptures again. Church people are giving for funds for us to buy scriptures, so we're back in business. We're going full bore again as fast as we can, getting the Word of God out. Now, the scriptures are about $1.25 each. You heard me share about Bridget, where she gave all of her babysitting money to buy a case. But folks, I can't tell you what to give. Just give as the Lord lays on your heart. Whether it be one scripture, whether it fills a classroom, or whatever the Lord lays on your heart, we'll take it, turn that money into scriptures, and place them around the world. But let me just read to you from three little letters. And this is what keeps us going, keeps us working, keeps us realizing what a mission we have and how important it is for us to fulfill what God has called us to do. This is from Nigeria, small child. May God, our Heavenly Father, bless you today. I'm a boy. I'm 14 years old. The Bible is priceless in school, and there is but one Bible at school. I cannot read it but 1 minute a day. I beg you, sir, send Bible, sir. I beg you in the name of the Father above, send a Bible. If you can't send a Bible, send a Testament. If you can't send a Testament, send a gospel tract. And finally, the little guy says, if you can't send a gospel tract, could you send me one page of Jesus' book? Here's another letter we got. It said, rescue my soul from hellfire. Help me, Christian. No Bible at home. Very expensive. No place to buy one.
No money to buy one.
No Bible shop. I beg you by the Spirit of God, send God's book. And then this one young girl says, I take my pen in hand. I write you, beg you from the bottom of my heart. So please send me a Bible. There's no Bible in our school, no Bible at home. Father and mother and brother, sister, are Muslim. I'm the only Christian, sir. Read your holy book and witness till Jesus comes. And I shared this morning how I was in a church in Sierra Leone. And I shared, and they took an offering. Africa, they love to give. They play music, they come down, they put all the money, march back. That offering plate was full. I had 6,900 leonis. They all gave from their heart. I could tell. They were so happy to give. Got back to the hotel room. I counted it, 6,900 leonis. Converted it to American dollars. It's $1.56. And I thought, oh my God, these people gave out of their poverty. And they gave $1.56. And they all gave. And I said, God, thank you for sending me here that we can play scriptures and they're free. Because these people can't afford to buy one if they had them here. So let's pray with us. Every time you see a Gideon Bible in a hotel room or you think about us, just pray that God will send us and keep the doors open. And I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for supporting me and praying for me and my family all these years. And the last 2 years since COVID, I've been home more than I've ever been in my entire life. I've had more fun. And I'm not working as hard as I used to because I promised my kids I would not miss the grandkids' stuff like I missed theirs. They were so supportive all those years when Daddy was gone. And they're a part of this ministry. And I kept telling them, I said, Daddy's got to go. You guys know about Jesus. Well, where am I going? They don't. So everybody that comes to know Christ, you children are going to have a part in it. And my wife, bless her heart, she's been so faithful all the years. I'm fixing to slip down to Texas for 2 or 3 days. And I said, you know what? I never realized how much I was gone until I've been here the last couple of years. So thank you so much for praying me and my family. And God bless you, and may we continue as a church to do what God has called us to do, and that's lead people to Christ and get the message of Jesus to the people of the world any way we can do it. God bless you.